You know, I've been presenting a series called His Hour Has Come. Part one was called The Servant of Servant. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to John, the 13th chapter. And there we'll read about the servant of servant. Part one, the servant of servant, John 13. Children, open your Bibles. I want you to follow along as we read this incredible story and look at it in depth. For you see, this three-part series has revolved around the idea of foot washing, and today is the conclusion. So, I'm going to start reading at verse number 1 of John 3, 13, and go to 5. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour had come, that He should depart from the world to His Father, having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Jesus. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hand and that He had come from God and was going to God, arose from supper, laid aside His garments, took a towel, and girded Himself. After that, He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which He was girded. In part one, we looked at this section of this story and we discovered that when Jesus entered the upper room, He sat in the seat of authority and honor. That's who He was. But the Bible says He stood up, took off His outer garment, went and got a towel and wrapped it around Him. He poured water into a basin. He washed the disciples' feet. In this highly symbolic action by Jesus, we discovered that He who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, sitting on the throne in heaven, stood up, took off His kingly garb, came in the form of humanity to serve His people, culminating in the foot washing, part one. In part two, we looked at it. It was entitled, Take the Plunge. So let us read verses 6 through 11. Continuing the story, then He came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to Him, Lord, are You washing My feet? Jesus answered and said to him, What I am doing now you do not understand, but you will know after this. Peter said to Him, You shall never wash My feet. Jesus answered and said, If I do not wash your feet, you have no part in Me. And Simon Peter said to Him, Lord, not my feet, but also my hands and my head. And remember, last week we discovered something very incredible. Just because Peter opened his mouth, he got in a discussion with Jesus, and suddenly the foot washing opens up to us. And I always thought that Peter was being very humble in the way he approached it and discovered it was just the opposite. For it's very clear in the Greek and the context that he first said, Lord, are You washing My feet? As if to say, You're not going to do this. How do we know this? Because in the next verse it says, You shall never wash My feet. And in the Greek, which I couldn't find anywhere in any of the other versions, it literally has a double negative. He said, You will never, never wash My feet. It's humiliating. and I'm not going to let you do it. And that's when Jesus said to him, Peter, if you don't let me wash your feet, you have no part in me. And suddenly Peter said, Lord, not just my feet, but my hands and my head also. And that's when Jesus said, it's enough just to wash your feet. And we found this quote in Desire of Ages 646. The service which Peter refused was the type of a higher cleansing. Christ had come to wash the heart from the stain of sin. And refusing to allow Christ to wash his feet. And notice, he refused to let Jesus do it. And it wasn't because he was being humble. Peter was refusing the higher cleansing included in the lower. He was really rejecting the Lord. It is not humiliating to the Master to allow Him to work for our purification. The truest humility is to receive with thankful hearts any provision made in our behalf, and with earnestness do what? The service for Christ. And so we discovered the real depth of the foot washing, because it represents the work that Christ did in us when we were converted, and it represents the cleansing from the sin that has accumulated since then. And it's all done by your brother or your sister in the church. And so today we move on to part 3 of His Hour Has Come. Do you know what I have done to you? Before I read it, will you bow your heads with me as we pray? Father, I want to thank You for this moment as we prepare for the foot washing. For You have providentially caused all of this to happen as a divine appointment. And people have come, maybe not knowing it was communion. And I believe, Lord, it is because more people need to understand this beautiful rite that You instituted in the upper room just before Your death. And so, Father, we want to receive all the benefits of Your purifying ministry in our behalf. Bless my mind and my mouth, that it brings forth from Your Word, Your Word, the truth, Lord, so that we can all be changed. Use me in spite of me. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 12. So when he had washed their feet and taken his garment and sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord. You say, well, for so I am. If you, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sends him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Amen. Now, as I prepared for this sermon, I was surprised, I guess out of ignorance or naivety on my part, how many preachers read this passage of Scripture and then they say to their congregation, but this doesn't mean we should wash one another's feet. In fact, one of my favorite radio preachers who's not a member of the Adventist Church. I caught him quoting the verse number 15, "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done." And here's what he said. It was incredible. He said, now Jesus did not institute here a right that he wanted to be practiced by the Christian church today. What he was really saying was, you have seen my behavior act in this way. He meant a general application. In fact, I've got a quote on this piece of paper here that I'm not going to bother to read, that another preacher said, that we sort of placate our conscience by washing one another's feet instead of going out and doing service to people. And by the way, if anybody's guilty of that, and when I read that, I thought I could be guilty of that, then stop it. This is a symbol how we're willing to serve anybody. And we don't just serve one another. We go from there, as that quote said, and we do service for Christ. So is this a right or isn't it? In spite of how famous some of these people may be, let's take a closer look at these verses again and see what the Bible says as we conclude this three-part series. First of all, 13 and 14. You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. And if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. Now I want you to notice the word in the Greek for you call me teacher is didaskalo. And didaskalo actually means an instructor, a doctor, a master, and a teacher. So obviously, what Jesus is doing by saying, you call me teacher, well, I'm teaching you right now. Do you got it? And then he said, but you also call me Lord, Kyrios. Kyrios in the Greek means, from the word kuros, supremacy, supreme in authority, God, Lord, Master. So look at what he's saying. Now, as a teacher, I'm teaching you, but don't lose sight of who I really am. You got that? And then we come to ophilo. Ophilo means to owe, pecuniarily. I knew I'd mess that one up. Pecuniary. Do you know what that word means? It's a monetary term. It means related to money. For example, a fine. So that Greek word for ought is figuratively to be under obligation. The Greek word says you're under an obligation to do this. As we look at this and we check out what other pastors are saying, this is based on the Bible, folks. That's why we wash one another's feet. And in verse 15 here, it says to wash. In the Greek, that is a verb and it's a present infinitive. And a present infinitive means it refers to continuous or repeated action. Okay, so let this filter. You call me teacher? I'm teaching you right now. You call me Lord? You're right. Because I am God. Now I want you to know that you ought to wash one another's feet. Because you're under obligation to do as I have done for you. Verse 16. Oh, I forgot this. By the way, early Christians called this rite, foot washing, early Christian called it the mandatum. Mandatum comes from the Latin word mandate, mandatory. And so when we look at these verses more deeply, we see why the Seventh-day Adventist Church understands them differently for what I would say the majority of Christians. Okay, well, let's look at 16. 16 says this, And as we wash the feet of Christ's followers, it is as though we were indeed touching what? The Son of God. We do this act because Christ told us to do it. And Christ Himself is among us. His Holy Spirit does the work of uniting our hearts to become one with Christ, requires self-denial, self-sacrifice at every step. 5 B.C. 1339. That's a powerful statement. I think that's supposed to be 16, isn't it? Anyway, 4. I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. The word example. Hupoigma. Hupoigma, an exhibit for imitation or warning. Figuratively, a specimen or a pattern. So as we go through these verses, folks, we see clearly the mandate we were given by Jesus to wash their feet in spite of good, honest Christians like the preacher I mentioned earlier that said Jesus was only talking about behave like I behave in a general fashion, but don't wash each other's feet. You don't have to do that. That's not what it says in the text. 16. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than the master, nor is he who sent greater than he who sent him. Now, when I looked at this at first, I realized something. I never could understand this text. Here's why. It says, he who is sent. Who is he that was sent? Huh? Jesus was sent. So I looked at that and said, wait a minute. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than the master, and Jesus is greater than he who is not greater than he who sent them. It just didn't make sense to me. And then I looked at this in the Greek again. And I discovered that he who is sent is apostolos. Anybody know what word comes from apostolos? Apostle. It should actually say what is said in, the Greek definition. A delegate, specifically, an ambassador of the gospel, officially apostle, messenger, he that is sent. And when you look at it in the Young's Literal Translation, I'm having a hard time here. Here's what it says in the Young's Literal Translation that really clears it up for me. Nor is the apostle greater than he who sent him. Who sent them? Jesus did. And they're not greater than Jesus. Now, what's the context here? The context is, If I am, washed your feet, you ought to what? Wash one another's feet. I feel really bad for some of these Christians that are missing this blessing. It's so plain to me and obvious that God is giving us a tremendous opportunity to practice the rite. Now get this, that He established just before He died. And this rite replaces the Passover, and all the Christians have communion. The debate is over foot washing. And how interesting that if you read your Desire of Ages, it clearly says that the foot washing prepared the apostles or disciples to receive the emblem of the broken body and shed blood of Jesus Christ. Christ would have his disciples understand that although he had washed their feet, this, I love this, isn't this beautiful? It did not what? Detract from his dignity. Ye call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. And being so infinitely superior, he imparted grace and significance to the service. No one was so exalted as Christ, and yet he stooped to the humblest duties that his people might not be misled by the selfishness which dwells in the natural heart and which strengthens by self-serving. Christ himself set the example of humility. And I really like this. In other words, do you know, this rite of foot washing helps keep us that we won't be misled by selfishness. So whether you feel it or not, when you're doing this service to the brother or sister that you are kneeling before, you are receiving an additional result of having your selfishness brought under control. By the way, that's just like the tithe. The tithe was given so that we wouldn't be selfish. Finally, check this one out. This is beautiful. 17. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Eido, properly, to see. That's if you know. Eido means not just you understand, but you see. You see deeper into it. There are two different Greek words. This one happens to be one that implies that you pierce through understanding and see even the platform that it's built on. And then Makarios. Makarios, supremely blessed. Brothers and sisters, we are doing right. How sad it is that the others ignore this, as they do the Sabbath. As many of them do the second coming of Jesus Christ, believing the rapture. And the Seventh-day Adventist Church is keeping before them, whether they like it or not, and before each other, what the Bible is really teaching, not what we wished it was teaching in this modern age, when we're too refined to do some of these things. I'll never forget reading in one preacher that said, it's just inconvenient in this day and age to keep the Sabbath. Brothers and sisters, when Jesus said you ought to wash one another's feet, he was not just saying behave like I do. He literally enjoined us to do that. A large group of European pastors came to one of D.L. Moody's Bible conferences in the late 1800s. Following European custom of that time, each guest put his shoes outside his room to be cleansed by the hall servant overnight. But of course, this is America, and there was no hall service. Moody saw the shoes and imagined the situation and mentioned the situation to some of his ministerial students who happened to be there. But it met with only silence and pious excuses. So Moody gathered up all of the shoes and alone in his room, one of the world's most famous evangelists, began to clean and polish the shoes. Only an unexpected arrival of a friend in the midst of his efforts revealed the secret. I want to be like that. Jesus was like that. Jesus wants us all to be like that. And so now we have the foot washing. I want to share with you, as we're now going to dismiss to the various rooms to do foot washing, a conviction that I had in preparing for this series. Well, there's a number of them, but this one's kind of interesting, and it's this. You know, in this church, we also have a room for couples to go and wash their feet. Married couples to wash each other's feet. And I love to wash my wife's feet. In fact, I think back in our lives together and I wish I could wash her feet every day. But the thought occurred to me, because of that, I'm missing some of you that I need to wash your feet. And so today I'm not going to wash Jenny's feet. And because of that, I thought I need to suggest to the church board that we suspend couples' foot washing every other Sabbath, or every other communion, so that we will be confronted with visitors. You guys know how many visitors we have in here. They may have never washed feet before. We need to be available to assist them, girl on girl, boy on boy. Okay, woman with woman, man with man. Because this incredible rite that Jesus instituted to keep our selfishness under check needs to be practiced even with strangers. So may God bless you as I pray now that you pick the right person to serve today and experience the full joy of what God intended by instituting this on the upper room. Father in heaven, thank you for each person who's come on this Easter Sabbath. And I pray your Spirit will take charge of this rite that we're about to partake in, assisting someone else in being prepared for communion as they assist us in being prepared. May your Spirit fall on this congregation and every person who is here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.